donate to this NPR station.
And support for WMNF comes from our members in Happy Feet Plus for those having foot, leg, knee, and back pain. Happy Feet Plus offers footwear solutions fashioned to make your feet happy and is a full-service shoe store, including a complimentary foot scan analysis at their 10 Bay Area locations. And if you have a car that you no longer need, think about using it to support WMNF. Donating a car, truck, or other vehicle is a great way to support the causes you care about most, like your station. Visit WMNF.org or call 888-966-3885. Good afternoon. You are listening to WMNF. This is 88.5 FM and WMNF.org. We are celebrating Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day here at the station, and most of us are out marching. Apparently, we are tremendous number of the people here at the station have gone to and to be in the parade. Welcome, by the way, to executive session. On our normal days, we are a forum for the discussion of the executive branch of your United States government. My name's John Gilmore, and I host the sessions each weekday, Monday through Friday, to remind you that we eagerly hear all viewpoints here. And that we require civility in comments, because basically what we're doing is checking out the notion that radio can still be the back fence of the nation. That is a place for reasonable people to hash out the issues of the day and walk away enriched, even if they still don't agree. You can join the conversation this afternoon at 813-239-9663. Mr. Frank Knox will answer your call, and he's going to want to hear your first name, where you're calling from, and maybe even a word or two about what it is that you want to say here in the session. You can reach the studio by email at dj@wmnf.org and by text at 813-433-0885. Strongly invite you to find executive session on Facebook and like and follow the page. You can see all the links to the material that we use on the program each day, and there are often substantive and lively discussions that go on the Facebook page. So, are you glad you buckled up Thursday? BuzzFeed published an article that President Donald Trump directed his longtime attorney, Michael Cohen, to lie to Congress about negotiations to build a Trump Tower in Moscow, according to two federal law enforcement officers involved in investigation of the matter. Now, the interesting thing was that Time magazine says that President Donald Trump, who is a freak, this is also a quote from Time magazine, President Donald Trump, a frequent critic of Robert Mueller and his team, had nothing but praise for the special counsel after the special counsel took the unusual step of denying a media report about the Russia investigation. This, by the way, lifted from Politico, is the statement that Mueller's office published. BuzzFeed's description of specific statements to the special counsel's office and characterization of documents and testimony obtained by this office regarding Michael Cohen's congressional testimony are not accurate. Now, notice that these are lawyers, and they lawyers make very, very precise use of the English language, and I assume of other languages as well. And what the lawyers in Mueller's office say is that the description, BuzzFeed's description of specific statements, it doesn't say the whole thing is false. It says their description of specific statements is not accurate. And it also, the characterization of documents and testimony are not accurate. So you got, let's be really, really particular about how it is that we listen to what Mr. Mueller's office has said. All right. Now, the president went on national television a couple of weeks ago and made a statement about the shutdown. And Time Magazine fact-checked those remarks. Now, the link to Time Magazine's fact-check of the president's Oval Office address is in the in today's post on Executive Sessions Facebook page. So you can go there and take a look at that. There is a lot of information in there about the president's claims about where drugs come from, about whether or not illegal immigrants bring crime, et cetera, et cetera. So we're going to do that, and we're going to do more. We are going to take this being, the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. We're not going to play more of his remarks and his interviews. You have heard lots and lots of what Dr. King had to say. You are clear in your mind about what it is that he has said. So we're going to take a special look at the dream. Not the dreamers, the people that the president seems to be offering as almost holding almost as some kind of hostages, but the dream, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King shared a dream. As we celebrate his birthday, how's that dream doing? Let's talk.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made. Those were the days. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again. Didn't need no welfare state.
Everybody pulled his weight.
G.R.O. was sour and great. Laws were the day.
All right, 813-239-9663, DJ at WMNF.org, and 813-433-0885 will get you in to either the directly on the air conversation or into the studio this afternoon. A lot happened since Thursday. A lot happened in the executive branch, and a lot happened. And we also want to talk about the dream. How's that dream doing? You heard Dr. King. You heard Dr. King describe his dream. You have seen the country since then. Give us a call at 813-239-9663. How is the dream doing? How is it doing? What do you see? And by the way, if you are someone who has regularly listened or who just breezed by for the afternoon, and you've never called the program or you've never called any program on the air, but you hear that there are views being represented that you agree or disagree with, or that you have views or experiences that no one else is expressing, by all means, pick up your device and tap out 813-239-9663. Let Frank know that you're a first-time caller. We'll get you right on the air because we like to talk to folks who are first-time callers. We also like to talk to people who are more or less regular callers, like Danny from Tampa. Good afternoon, Danny. Kick us off here on a Monday afternoon.
Good afternoon, John. Happy MLK Day.
Thank you.
Yep, yes, sir. And I think the dream, Martin Luther King's dream, if you look at the last 2 years, has really been going opposite of what he dreamed. We have people like Donald Trump and Mike Pence in office and all the people who support him.
Uh-huh.
Yes, when you had for 8 years under Obama, we were making so much progress and everything, and now with Donald Trump, it's just backwards. They look at what's happened with Charlottesville and on and on and on. The mm-hmm. hatred, all the hate groups that have risen, and the white supremacy. I think that look what happened yesterday with the Covington Catholic teenagers.
Yeah, now I have seen that I have seen offered a different video than the one that has gone, quote, viral.
Right, I've heard about that.
And I have not looked at that. As a matter of fact, I have not looked at the video
mm-hmm.
of the one that they've offered, okay?
Yeah.
I have heard a lot of stories around it, and it certainly is easy to look at that picture has become a meme.
Yeah.
And interpret that young man's expression as a smug smirk.
Oh boy, there was a lot of I heard there was a lot of people on the internet. I heard a right wing talk show this morning for a few minutes saying that that a lot of people were chiming that they wanted to even maybe punch him in the face.
Yeah, it's easy to do that. They're apparently, from what I have just been able to sort of absorb, just from being around, that particular confrontation was a little more complicated than it's being presented.
Right.
And that there was a lot more going on there than just some smug preppy.
Yeah.
Given an old Native American man a hard time because
a hard time, yeah. There was another group involved.
Yeah. So but it's you said something about during Obama's 8 years we made a lot of progress. I think that Obama's election was a tremendous step forward.
Oh, without a doubt. That was a dream right there. That was made possible. That was definitely a dream made possible. And then you go back to what happened over the weekend with BuzzFeed, okay? It seems to have been proven an error. The story was an error. But what happens is here's something positive for them, and what happens? Rudy Giuliani
Rudy.
On television with Jake Tapper yesterday and completely undermines and destroys any progress that they've made with some of the statements he made. He was asked, Jake Tapper asked him, yeah, but don't you think it was weird that they met before that Cohen and Trump met? And they met, he goes, so what? He goes, what's wrong with that? I mean, he was just on and on and on, and just, this guy is just he's a gift.
I'll tell you what fascinated me, Danny, and that was that President Trump came out and made this published the special counsel's statement as though biblical.
Yeah.
And he has spent the last year and a half calling Bob Mueller and everybody in his office everything but on time for dinner.
I know. Wasn't that?
It was so
gracious to him. I mean, oh my God. Well, he figured, hey, like I say, but then you get Giuliani and it's a gift. And I'll tell you what, over the weekend, I saw, it was Saturday, I believe, I was watching MSNBC. They were showing some of the latest stats. He has lost 10%, 10 points on his base alone.
Yeah.
He has lost every poll. He has been negative. Every poll has him down. He's the first president in history never to even reach 50% in his first 2 years, not even close. Down to 37%, if you believe that poll, which I believe.
Well, I'll tell you what, polls are fascinating, and yeah. I still have some sore places from 2016.
Well, I do too. Well, we all do.
As far as polls are concerned, so I listen very advisedly now to polls.
I do too, but I'm trusting some of that because of the shutdown. Then he goes and he makes this tremendous offer to the Democrats.
I saw that. And by the way, some of the particulars of that are very, very interesting. Listen, we're going to move along. Thank you very much for kicking us off, John, on a Monday afternoon, and we'll talk again.
You have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, 813-239-9663, and we will talk to Don. Is it Don in Largo?
Yeah, my theory on the executive idea is that we ought to recognize the U.S. Constitution as a qualification for federal office.
Okay.
Instead of saying, "Have you taken a lot of bribes? Are you have a political do you have a political corporation?"
Are you 35 and a citizen? Never mind all that other falderal.
Yeah, the other falderal has absolutely nothing to do with anything except establishing a class structure. You know what I mean? You have to prove that the regular people that are actually described there who struggle from payday to payday, who are only individuals and can't quite make ends meet or barely make ends meet, they don't exist. You know, I mean, it's so upside down, wrong, and backwards. I know because I declared every election cycle since 1987, and they send me a form letter and they say, well, there's nothing, no violation of the Act, which is the Federal Election Law of 1971. Mm-hmm. But the Federal Election Law of 1971 ranks people according to how much money they have and how much money they spend and whether they're a fiduciary corporation.
Yeah, that's, you know, there's an awful lot of... I have sarcastically suggested on a couple of occasions that we may be headed toward an electoral system where at a certain moment, on a certain day in November... we tally up everybody's bank accounts, and the one with the most money becomes president.
I don't know, but we know that in 2016, we had two people who took payments from foreign countries and were disqualified from holding positions of trust at the end. And at the beginning, they said, "Have you taken bribes? Do you have too much money? And are you incorporated?" They disqualified the majority of the population, who are only human individuals described in the Constitution, at the beginning. At the end, we had two constitutionally disqualified candidates.
Hmm.
It's upside down, wrong, and backwards.
Yeah, we have what I would characterize as a very substantial amount of work to do on our election system.
Yeah, well, they wrote a book about it, the best.
The best government money can buy. Yeah, I think that this thing that we commonly call Citizens United was probably one of the boneheadedest decisions that ever came out of the Nine Robes.
And they could have asked those people that they qualified for the Supreme Court, "Do you believe in Citizens United?" And the answer probably would have been yes.
Yeah, I know that no nominee is going to say that they believe in that or not. They're just not going to do that. They'll say all about how, you know, they'll stick with decided cases and they're going to all that kind of stuff. But none of them are going to sit in a confirmation hearing and say, "Yeah, I like that" or "I don't like that," because as soon as you do, somebody up there is going to say, "Well, that pretty much disqualifies you. You've already said that you are prejudging a case that, you know, could come before you." So, but, you know, that's like I said, I think that was one of the boneheadedest things that the Supreme Court ever did. And I hope that at some point in my lifetime, we have a chance to correct that.
All right. Well, I'm trying. Don from Largo.com.
All right.
Really trying.
All right, Don. Listen, thanks for bringing it. We'll talk again. 813-239-9663. Lots and lots happened here and across the country since Thursday. You're listening to Executive Session here on WMNF. This is 88.5 and WMNF.org on your computer and phone machine. And lots happen, but we also want to hear from you because this is the celebration of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, and his influence on the course of events in America, especially the course of events of our racial relations in the country and how we see each other. And so you are more than welcome to call in at 813-239-9663 and see, as we celebrate Dr. King's birthday, how's that dream coming along? Elizabeth, good afternoon. You're in executive session. You have the floor.
Well, thank you, John. How are you today?
So far, not bad.
Well, you can't ask for more than that.
No, it's I tell people I'm a lot better off than I have any reason to expect.
Good way to look at it. Good way to look at it. All right. Let us start with my report on my assignment. The White House comment line as of yesterday, that was the last time I called, is still inoperable.
Right.
It informs me that it will be on as soon as the government is functioning again.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice to know?
Yeah, yeah.
Very well. All right. I guess we can live through that. Now, let me talk about dreams now. You've been discussing them.
Mm-hmm.
There are two kinds, of course. When you sleep, you may dream, and then daydreams.
Mm-hmm.
They are all lovely things. I don't recall ever having a nightmare, you know, a bad dream is described as a nightmare. Have you ever had one, John?
Oh, sure.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why I haven't. Frightening things people have talked about happening to them in their nightmares. The only thing I really know for sure about dreams is if they are something that you think is wonderful and you want it to happen, you better bloody well work at it. There is no other way to attain the dream satisfaction.
Yes, that's yeah, exactly. And that was what I heard. Now, somebody did a comedy bit years and years and years ago that asked the question, What if Dr. King had rolled over one morning and looked at Coretta and said, "You know, I had a dream."
Well,
and that was it.
Maybe he did, yeah.
You know,
but that man, oh my Lord, we all admire that one. He worked, slaved, sweat, bled everything
mm-hmm.
for his belief, his mm-hmm. dream, didn't he?
Yep, it was, there was, it was almost like a movement coalesced into one person for a while. There were a lot of other people, there were, even at the time of Dr. King, there were a lot of other people working on that same dream, but he seemed to emerge as the spokesperson. He was strongly advocating nonviolence.
Yeah.
And basically was promoting love.
True.
And fundamentally calling for people to treat each other in the way they would care to be treated.
Yeah.
So,
like I would like to be treated type of thing.
Yeah. So, you know, and I'm just by way of a little introduction, I'm a guy that was born in West Central Florida in 1947. And I was raised on the West Central coast of Florida. And I went to school with Jim Crow.
Yeah.
Yep. Jim Crow was all over the place, and Jim Crow was in the courthouse by those water fountains.
Yeah.
And Jim Crow was in the bus station. And so that was the world that I grew up in. I got to watch something that was really astonishing.
Well, I kind of saw it differently. I was born and raised in Akron, Ohio.
Ah.
Our schools were integrated. Now, this is I was born in 1925, so this is in the 30s.
Yeah.
They were integrated.
That's interesting because the first black student that I ever saw in any public school I went to was when I was either a junior or a senior in high school. Okay, and that was a young lady came and she, I don't know if she transferred from someplace or she was bused from someplace, I really don't know, but she was the first black student at the high school where I was, ever.
I'll be darned.
And that was 64 or 65, I really don't remember exactly which one. So.
Way back in the 30s, it was an open society there in Akron. There was no segregation at all.
Yeah, not so much here on the west central coast of Florida, my dear.
You know, different strokes for different folks.
Yeah, this was a very, 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 very different kind of place. And it's been remarkable for me to see people. First off, it was, it's remarkable upon reflection, but at the time it was just daily stuff.
That was accepted. That's all there is.
You know, and I was, I got in trouble one time in the courthouse because I went and saw those two fountains and deliberately went and drank from the wrong one. Now, As a little white kid, if you drink from the quote colored fountain, that's one kind of consternation. If you are a grown black person and you drink from the quote whites only fountain, that's an entire other level of consternation right there.
Criminal.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Yep.
But you know, even as a child, I did know there was segregation because we generally spent the summer down at my mother's home in North Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
And that was totally acceptable there. They were just second-class citizens, and that's all there was to it.
Well, Elizabeth, I always enjoy talking to you, and I am very pleased to hear from you whenever we do, and look forward to talking to you again.
Oh, thank you, dear John.
Sure enough. Now, I at one point was in a relationship with a woman who was a teacher at a school at a large phosphate mining community east of Tampa. And north of Highway 60 was the white part of town, and south of Highway 60 was the black part of town. And I asked her one time how it is, because she used to talk about the very strong invocation of the Christian ethic in her students. And I asked her, how is it that you can espouse Christianity and treat people the way the black people were treated there? And she looked at me as though I had just rolled off the back of a turnip truck and said, that's very simple. They aren't people. That line, now she didn't believe that. She was quoting me from the general belief of among people that were surrounding her in her job. That reply, as you can hear, has lasted and lingered with me for a long time. Sean and Mike and Hugh and Joe and Mark, we will be with you in just a moment. We are going to be right back. Support for WMNF comes from our members and UF Online, providing education to qualified students. As a top 10 public university, online students earn the same degree as their on-campus counterparts. Students can apply by mail, or students can apply by May 6th. That students can apply by May 6th for fall. UF students online don't just log in, they connect.
It will be a big night of rootsy alt-country sounds on January 26th at Skipper's Smokehouse. WMNF presents the second alt-country hoedown with four quality headline bands. Reckless Kelly.
How can you love him if you don't even like him?
Nikki Lane.
Oh, any day or night time is always the right time.
Dale Watson.
Hey, driver. Hey, he's bound as a DOT. He's got his hammer down. He's advertising.
Jason D. Williams.
Oh, Lord, but I'm way too wild. I'm wild. Wild as can be. I'm wild. W-I-L-D. I'm wild. Woo, yeah. I'm gonna be wild.
The Oak Hill Drifters kick off the wild evening of music at 6 p.m. Saturday, January 26th at Skipper's. Get your tickets now. For more information, go to WMNF.org events.
And back to the conversation this afternoon as we take note of all of the things that have happened since we buckled up on Thursday. BuzzFeed breaking a bombshell that has caused a great deal of consternation from both sides. Meanwhile, they insist that they are standing by their reporting and they are standing by their sources. And so there was that. The president suddenly finding himself standing in league with Robert Mueller and his team. Uncritically accepting their statement about the BuzzFeed article after having declared the whole group of them deep state, hostile, dangerous, disloyal, you know the list. And so it brings up another thing. What if the president and the campaign actually didn't do anything? What if Robert Mueller, after 2 years of fine-tooth combing what happened during the election, finds that while the Russians were active at what they were doing, the people in the Trump campaign transition and White House had absolutely nothing to do with it. They completely exonerate the Trump organization, campaign, transition, everybody. Now, the president has been calling Robert Mueller a liar and a deep state bad guy, and just, I mean, you know the descriptions. You've heard the descriptions. What if at the end, Mueller's report comes out and says he didn't do anything? Is that going to put the president in kind of a tough spot, isn't it? I mean, now all of a sudden the guy he says you can't believe about Good Morning says he didn't do anything. 813-239-9663. We are going to go and talk to Hugh in Dover. Hugh, good afternoon. You're in executive session.
Good afternoon, John. How are you?
So far, not bad.
Good. I hope I can make your day even a little bit more pleasant.
Oh, by all means, go for that.
Well, you know, listening to Sean, I think Sean Canan's program this morning where he played a lot, I mean, quite a bit of Dr. Martin Luther King's speech. I mean, that man is such an orator. He's so ridiculously intelligent that, I mean, I just sat there and I just, you know, was hanging on every word he was saying. He's an amazing person.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even imagine, you know, what the world would be like had he not, you know, been assassinated.
Well, it's, it's an interesting conjecture, and I don't know, but I do understand your admiration of the man's ability to take expansive ideas and formulate them into language that uplifts.
Exactly. And his focus on love, the Greek word agape, when he said that, you know, that it's easier to love a person than it is to like them. I mean, what a statement.
Yeah.
That's such a profound statement.
Well,
and he's, you know, when he talked about God, you know, and that's my question to you, I guess, is, you know, how they've taken prayer and they've taken so much of religion out of lower education. I mean, you can still study theology and religion in higher education, but do you think it would be at all possible to at least put the history of religion and the love, the unconditional love that Dr. King was talking about, you know, back into public schools so that, you know, kindergarten through 12 can just get a feeling of the emotion and the higher power belief that someone as incredible as Dr. King is or was,
well,
to bring that into their lives?
I'll tell you what, there are some distinctions to be made in the critical lessons that people learn as they grow up. And I think that school is a place to learn certain forms of socialization. It's a place to learn fact. And it's a place, I mean, the thing about religion is that it is such a sensitive subject with people that if you are going to teach about religion, you have to be prepared to teach about all religions.
And I have no problem with that, but
yeah,
at least teach the history of religion.
Yeah, the history of religion would be a kind of an interesting thing to look at as we go back to all the way back to the caves in France, and we talk about the kinds of drawings that men and women put on those cave walls back there, and the kind of things that looked like they were worship icons.
Mm-hmm.
And then come back up through the panoply of gods and the distillation of all gods into a single god, and you know, yeah, that would be pretty interesting. I think that possibly as a high school survey course, as an elective, it might be interesting to offer that in high school. I don't know.
But you don't ever foresee the Pledge of Allegiance being back in the classroom and then exchanging the word God with the word love, you know, unconditional love.
No, I don't think that there, no, I don't think so. Well, here's a scene that I've described a couple of times. So you have a shot, you're looking at a video, and what it is an entire classroom of 3rd graders, okay? And at a signal, they all stand up and they all assume a particular position, okay? Their hand in a certain way, they're facing a certain way, and they all recite this verse that is a pledge of their undying loyalty to the symbol of a nation, okay? And they're all Korean kids. What have you just witnessed?
You'll have to answer that question for me. I'm not sure.
Okay, well, I would say that if you saw that uncommented and you saw it just, that you would say it was an indoctrination.
Well, just to add a little bit more to Dr. King's statement, the Korean word agape means father.
The Korean word?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not familiar with Korean.
Well, my boss is Korean, so Annyeonghaseyo to all the Koreans out there. I just said hello to him.
I hope so.
yeah. Well, but I can see where you went with that, honestly, and I know that is the biggest criticism of the Pledge of Allegiance or reference to God is that you're trying to indoctrinate people.
Well, let me tell you, I recited that pledge daily while I was in school for years and years and years and years before I found out that there was no such thing as a legions.
Okay.
Because I was not sure that I was pledging my legions, that I was pledging a legions, and I didn't know if I even had one.
None of us did at that age.
Yeah, so I'm busily reciting this verse over and over again, and I had no idea what it means.
Right.
I'm kind of curious as to the value of that.
I know that a lot of your regulars are probably chewing at the bit to call and talk to you today, so I'm going to
leave
some time for them.
It's good to talk with you, and we'll talk again. Sir. 813-239-9663. Sean, Mike, and Joe, and Iata, we see you there. We will be back with you in just a moment. The signals from your car when it's telling you it wants to do more with its life than just sit and collect dust. Instead, give it a second life and donate it to WMNF, where it can drive more hours of your favorite music and news. It's easy to give. The pickup is free. Go to WMNF.org or call 888-966-3885 and thank you.
WMNF's winter membership drive begins at 6 a.m. on Wednesday, February 6th, and ends on February 13th. We're now seeking restaurants, caterers, and chefs to feed our volunteers taking your pledges. Do you own or work for a food establishment? We have many ways to thank you. Find out about donating drinks, snacks, or a meal by contacting Miss Julie at 813-238-8001 or emailing missjulie@wmnf.org.
All right, here we are on Dr. Martin Luther King's, the celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday, and we're talking a lot about that. Basically, the Reverend shared a dream. So as we celebrate his birthday, how's that dream doing? What do you think? 813-239-9663. Mike in Tampa, your persistence paid off. Good afternoon, sir. You are in executive session, and you have the floor.
Yeah, the dream, as far as the economic side of it, picture goes, is not going too well. I think it's lost and realized, and that's one of both Democrat and Republican presidents. Martin Luther King, the end of his life, was involved in the Poor People's March. And one of the demands of the Poor People's March was a more humane welfare system.
Uh-huh.
Not the phony welfare that Bill Clinton put forth, but the transformation of the welfare system, which hasn't come about.
Yeah. Well, that's tough, because there is an entire politic in this country that characterizes people who need assistance as somehow morally inferior, somehow as a character disorder if you fall by the wayside and need some assistance from somebody to get yourself back on your feet.
Yeah, and Bill Clinton explored that to the hill.
Well, you know, Bill was one of these. He was a master triangulator, and he was one of these politicians who would give to get. And I was not I was dismayed when he went ahead with that welfare quote reform, but he did that because he was working trying to build up a way to work with Congress so that he could get stuff that he wanted.
Yeah, but he campaigned on 1992 far ahead of anybody else and was was advocating that even back then. I didn't realize it at the time, but he was advocating it early on.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether or not the welfare reform, quote unquote, that he signed was what he was talking about during those days. I have a feeling that it wasn't.
Yeah, well, it might not have been. I wanted to ask you another question. Had you ever read Albert Einstein's work in the first issue of the
I can tell you without any hesitation that the answer to that question is no. As far as I am aware, I have never read anything by Albert Einstein.
Yeah, well, it was in the Atlantic Monthly, the first issue, where he talked about why socialism, and he was talking about Marxist socialism.
Yeah.
And he basically made the same critique of capitalism that Karl Marx made.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very enlightening. I'd highly recommend it.
Yeah, Karl Marx was pretty pretty perceptive as far as he went looking at the problems with capitalism. Mm-hmm. The solution he offered, however, is I don't think is acceptable. I mean, turning over the entire means of manufacture and distribution to the state—that's not going to fly.
Yeah, well, I think the turn over independently to the people who do the work, not to the state.
It's interesting because Mr. Wolf, who has the show on Economic Update on, talks about something that is is a very interesting kind of tangent on capitalism, where the workers actually own that company. They don't own the government that owns that company.
Yeah,
they own the company.
Yeah, yeah.
And they can run it, and it's a capitalist system. I mean, the point of the place is to make a profit.
Mm-hmm.
They just do it, and instead of there being a highly localized center of power, and then everybody else, there's the people that make the thing go, and they all make the choices. They all run the place.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, a supervisor that I had one time pointed out to me that pure Marxist socialism, as described by young Karl back in the whenever that was, has never been tried.
Well, that's true. And you said that like when you were in school, socialism was fighting more.
Oh, my God. Let me call you a socialist for crying out loud. That was terrible. We might as well call you a traitor.
Yeah, that was the same way when I was in school. And I was so far white back when I was in school, I thought Hubert Humphrey was a communist. He wanted to talk to the Russians. And I said, if he wanted to talk to them, in my reasoning, then he must be one.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. Well, anyway, we were very, very thoroughly indoctrinated in that whole whole lexicon. I mean, the energy that was put on those words.
Yeah.
And to this day, the people here, social democrat or democratic socialist, or they think that you're talking about someone who's a democrat who wants to invoke Marxism. And that simply is not the case.
Yeah, well, I've learned a lot since then. And back then, I was still pro Nixon. I was pro Nixon gung-ho both times. I've come 180 degrees all the way around now, and I've learned a lot since then.
Yep. Well, I hope that we all have, Mike, and I always enjoy talking to you, and I appreciate your calls, and we'll talk again.
All Okay.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663 as we step across the threshold into the lightning round here, getting ready to wrap up a session on a Monday afternoon. We're going to go and talk to Sean in Tampa. Sean, good afternoon. You're in executive session, and you have the floor.
John. Hey, John.
What's up?
Hey, did you see Mike Pence compare MLK to Trump's border wall?
I did not. I heard about it. I have seen that people had some very, what I would call substantial reactions to that.
I gagged a little.
Yeah.
I have a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King. Nothing in the world is more dangerous than sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity. I think that sums up Pence's statement yesterday succinctly.
Well, I think that the little tiny piece of it that I saw, I believe, said something about them both being change agents. That's not a quote. That's way
I caught the clip, and it was the most ridiculous, condescending thing I've seen in a week. And to say that nowadays is incredible.
Well, Mike Pence is a very, very interesting guy. And my personal reaction to him is that he may be more dangerous than Donald Trump.
I'm in that field with you. He's been under the radar because Trump is so bombastic.
Right.
And he's like a snake waiting there for Trump to finally fall off the wall and pick up the scepter.
I said, are we watching Brutus keeping Caesar within arm's reach?
I think I heard you say that a week or so ago, and I agree with you 100%.
Because I see the sycophancy that I hear in Mike Pence towards Donald Trump is incredible. And anytime you see them in the same picture, look at Mike Pence's expression. He looks like he just laid eyes on the Messiah.
Yeah, as if he's looking at God himself.
Yeah,
And that's completely phony.
I don't know. I don't. When I listen to what he says, and I look at what I know of Christianity, I don't see how you can put those things together. But he does.
I hold him. His scale of ability to lie is right there with Trump and Giuliani and Huckabee. I think that he is completely full of it as much as any of them.
Yeah, my dad used to say, he lies and you swear to it.
Right. That's their relationship in a nutshell.
That's what it looks like to me. All right, Sean, thanks a lot. It's good to talk with you. We'll talk again.
You too.
All right, we are in the lightning round, and we are going to go and talk to Iata. Good afternoon, Iata. You are in executive session.
Hi there, John. How are you?
I'm doing good. How's yourself?
I'm doing well. Nice to speak to you on such a nice day, although it's cold out.
Well, it's a little chilly. I'm sure that some of our Canadian visitors are just loving this.
Yeah, probably people that are used to it like it. You know how that goes.
Yeah.
Well, one thing for sure, I have a couple of things to say.
Okay.
First off, your question that you asked, I don't know how you asked that question with a straight face. I was waiting for you to just fall out laughing. If they find him innocent, oh my God, that's like looking outside and saying there's a hurricane out your window right now.
Well, I'll tell you what, Iata, we were engaging in what you call, what did I get? The only word I can think of is hyperbole. That's one of them.
I'm waiting for you to start laughing.
The other word that comes to mind is hypocritical, and that's not at all what I'm talking about. Hypothetical. We were dealing in the wildest kind of hypothetical there. Suppose they landed on the moon and it did turn out to be green cheese.
Well, Yeah,
that kind of hypothetical.
Kind of yeah,
yeah.
And I've noticed nobody has addressed it yet, so I thought it was pretty funny.
Well, I think it would be. I think it would put Mr. Trump in a terrible situation if if Mueller's report just went. Guess what? He didn't do anything. And Mr. Trump has spent 2 years just trying to convince everybody that Robert Mueller, you know, is a sideshow barker and a bank robber on the side.
Yeah, well, you know, he'll do anything to try and save himself.
All right, Yana, listen, we got to go.
Let me give you this one thing. If MLK was here today, he would definitely be storming the White House. So people need to do like other people in the world and stop corrupt governments. Go to the White House. Go to your local government.
All right.
Stop this.
That's the last word. Thank you very much. Stay tuned for It's the Music. And in the meantime, remember at all times...
What better place than here?
It's the Music going to take you through the afternoon and deliver you to the traffic jam. We're going to get you home. This is WMNF Tampa.